Okay, now we are ready for our next panel. Our moderator tonight is also a very good friend of mine. He's very smart. He's the one that I get every time I have some question about Unity, because he's the man. He's a technical evangelist for Latin America at Unity Technologies. Arturo started his game development career programming game prototypes for the Xbox 360. After having completed his studies as a computer systems engineer, Arturo started to work as an independent developer at Fine Games, making mobile and web games primarily. Currently, his role focuses on helping studios in Latin America to develop their games and interactive applications, in addition to evangelizing about using Unity. Please welcome Arturo Núñez.
Hello, welcome everybody. Thank you all for being here. I'm super excited. This is my third Latinx in Games event, so I'm very, very happy. Today, I have some guests. Well, we have some guests. They are not my guests. People I respect from the industry, people that I didn't know before they were coming here, but I'm impressed about their backgrounds and their careers. So I would like to welcome them to the stage. Daniel, please, a warm round of applause to him.
Hey.
Also, welcome.
Thank
I will
you.
Let you
sit in the
yourself. Yes. Also, Andro, please, another applause for him. Thank you. Gracie, please, another applause for her. And lastly, Edgar, please join us here with his beer. Are you allowed to come here with your beer? Okay.
You tried to do this.
All right. Oh, you can't
try to get this.
You can sit here. No. All that's right. Just for me. So, our pictures.
Yeah.
So, welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Esteban, Fer. Guillermo, first I would love to hear about you, what you do, what's your role, where do you work at, where are you from? So I'll give you a couple of minutes to each one of you to introduce yourself. Maybe we can start with you, Edgar, and then we can do a zigzag round.
Sure. So hi, I'm Edgar Serrano. I'm the director of Lienzo. That's like canvas and in Spanish. And we're the studio in charge of Mulaka. It's a game that thank you. It's an action-adventure game for platforms that we released about, this is the fourth week since launch. So we just launched the game, and we're located in Chihuahua, Mexico, in the middle of nowhere, gaming developer-wise, and we managed to pull it off, and that's why I'm here, I guess.
Thank you, Edgar. Gracie.
Howdy, my name is Gracie at NS Straight Matter. And if you didn't know already, I'm from Texas, from Austin. I have been with EA for almost 10 years. And during that journey, I've been a part of EA Sports and the last 4 years with BioWare. And I am currently technical art director on our game called Anthem, which is scheduled to be released in a few months. So looking very forward to that. So,
thank you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Gracie.
Hello, my name is Andro Miralrio. I work with actors, and a picture is worth a thousand of words. We prepare a video for you, so.
Eu espero que você me dê 110%, Félix!
E eu que creí que la comida de prisión olía mal.
Retuve lo necesario para sacarte de la nave.
No, eso no. Nos vamos juntos.
Não há marcha atrás.
Meus Spartans são o próximo passo da humanidade. Nosso destino como espécie. Não os subestime.
Não importa uma grande vitória na Terra, sino uma grande derrota no espaço.
Jefe, despierta.
Aqui o sargento Marcus Phoenix. Esquadrão Delta, fuera.
Mi esposa es Adriele, una
una brasilera espectacular, cantante, actriz. Tengo una hija divina que se llama Clara Sofía, que es la luz de mis ojos, tiene 5 años actualmente.
Soy casado. De hecho, voy a salir de viaje porque cumplo 21 años de casado.
Sí, tengo un hijo de 4 años, se llama Mauricio, y pues es mi adoración.
Tuve la experiencia de que mientras alguien jugaba, me prestaba la diadema y entonces yo hablaba y decía cosas como mi personaje.
La primera vez que jugué un video con mi voz, no lo podía creer. Pues es una sensación muy padre, es una sensación que te llena, ¿no? De satisfacción y de orgullo. Y más estando jugando con mi hijo al lado.
Yo tengo 3 hermanos más chiquitos y ellos tienen el juego de Halo. Y entonces me decían, es que eres tú, súper emocionados, y con ese jugué.
Es una sensación bastante rara.
¿Cómo ha reaccionado la gente? Es algo muy bonito. Yo honestamente, por ejemplo, con el personaje específicamente de Cortana, nunca pensé que tuviera ese alcance, la verdad.
Cuando son los fans, las reacciones realmente son... Se siente un rockstar, ¿no? La reacción para los que conocen el juego y aman el juego y son fans es increíble.
Cortana, por favor.
Hello, I'm Daniel Monastero from Brazil. I'm one of the co-founders and I'm the manager for Garage 227 Studios. We are now a binational company. We are based in the US and also in Brazil. We started with our first game that was Shiny, and now it's launched and available on Xbox and some other platforms. And from there we grew to become an outsourcing company, and then we partnership with other indie studios and some other companies around the world. I'm very happy to be here at this table. It's really important for us, and I can say only thank you for everyone to being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. So I think part of any good story is the beginning, right? How you start a journey, how you start something new. So the next question is, how did you get into games? Did you somehow one day woke up and said, oh, I want to make games? Or was it because maybe your parents are game developers? What's your story?
So we need the mic for everyone?
I think they all have microphones.
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's not needed. So maybe we can start with you, Daniel,
yeah.
This time.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Sure, all right. So I actually was a law enforcement officer in Brazil for 10 years. So I grew in the career to a point where I didn't feel that I could contribute anymore. And I was very passionate about games, right? So I had some vacation time from these 10 years and enough savings. I started, studying video games. I did all the training I could do in Brazil. I found normal school in Los Angeles. And I moved to Los Angeles for 4 months, left my family in Brazil. I've been married for over 10 years now, so that was a challenge for all that. So I stayed in Hollywood for a while, met a bunch of cool people that helped me on the way, got back to Brazil, started doing freelance on the side, and eventually moved the career to video games all over. And now I'm very grateful that we founded a studio, we have a game out, we have several other projects that we worked on, that we have credits. Paulo from Flux is here, we have credits there. He was kind enough to put a picture of us, the team, on the game. And so we're very fortunate to be working in video games now. So yeah, that's how I got here.
Awesome. Andrew?
Well, I was working at Hewlett Packard 12 years ago. And I was attending with a suit, with no flexibility in my job. With any happiness in what I was doing that time. So I was also at the university and also in a video game developers club. So I decided to leave the company. I take my savings and I decided to travel to understand what's the video game industry at that time. There was no information about video games in Mexico. So yeah, well, I remember that I traveled to some events, and then an Argentinian studio opened an office in Mexico. So that was my first job. Well, 12 years after I'm here sharing my history in this event, that also one of my two main my favorite games was The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, and the other was Halo 3. And when I play Halo 3 for the first time, it's like I need to be part of this at some level, you know. So yeah, well, here I am.
Thank you, Andrew. Gracie.
I'm gonna use this. I love this. So my story actually goes back to December of 1992, I believe, when during Christmas we got a Super Nintendo system, and my brother was ecstatic. And of course, we'd never had one at home before, so it was pretty exciting to be able to play games at home. And of course, my brother always needed a second player, so I got rounded into everything. So even to this day, I have a very strong affinity towards the second players of a lot of the Super NES games. Luigi is by far one of my favorite. And so I think it was kind of kindled there, that initial kind of interest and joy and nostalgia in remembering that. And in addition to that, my father was in the U.S. Air Force, and he still is to this day, my greatest role model. To see somebody succeed in what he succeeded in, and to get a computer engineering degree, and to show that it's possible for a Latino to do that, and to come from a family living in poverty to making something of himself, that was a huge example for me to know that that was possible. And so growing up, we were surrounded by books on math and science, and he fostered that and kindled that love in all of us. And so for me, that was a real huge part of being involved in tech, for one. And when I went to college, I got a computer science degree, but I always loved doing art as well. So I always kept that up on the side. I always wanted to find a way to make those work together. I ended up finding a graduate program that did just that, that kind of merged the two together. And what I found was that, you know, even though I wanted to go into films and movies, I ended up getting this internship in the games industry at EA Sports in Orlando, and that completely changed my life. I found my calling. I found a really great cohesive team that was solving really challenging problems, and at that point, I knew that that was going to be my career. And here I am 10 years later.
Well, I'm always almost embarrassed to share my story of all those three stories, but whatever, here it goes. So when my family got a NES, an NES system, I was the guy that I passed Punch-Out game by proxy because I saw my uncle play it all the time. And then we got Mario 64, and then again, I passed it by proxy because I was in charge of the lookout to see if my mother came home, because we were only allowed to play like an hour at a time. And through those games, after that, I had so much courage in me to go ahead and play as most as I could. So the first time I actually crossed town and my bike was to go to this rental place, and that's where my obsession began. And it was really dissonant with me because a lot of people, there was this taboo around games that they're separated people, and in my view, they bring people together. So from there, I knew that somewhere or another, I had to be in this industry. Now, I've always said that I am an ingeniero trapped in the capability of a licenciado, so I couldn't get into, I was never into math or anything like that. So I knew that the only way that I could get into it was maybe like play testing, but I live in Chihuahua, Mexico, and that's in the middle of nowhere in a country where game development was like nowhere. So it was like literally impossible for us. So Adolfo Rico and myself, my co-founder, we sat down and we said, well, if we want to make something in the industry, why don't we make something in the industry? So we literally started the company just as our way to get into the industry. And now we have a game on Xbox. So yay us, I guess. And that's how I started recently.
Thank you. Thank you. Great stories. So the next thing, and this next round of questions is going to be like personal questions. So I'll make one for you, Edgar, that you're here. You say you live in Chihuahua, Mexico, in the middle of nowhere. I've visited Lienzo. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it's a nice city. How do you feel? What do you think, like, living in Chihuahua shapes the way you make games? Like, it would be different if you were in another city?
Yes, totally. I believe that the only way to grow is through adversity. So the more struggles you have in your life, the more opportunities you have to grow. So if you have like a lot of things handed to you, you don't really get to grow that much because you don't challenge yourself that much. At least that's how I like to see it. So in our city, it was precisely that. The only way we had to learn about games was to learn ourselves and to make games and screw up and make like really crappy games and then learn how to make even crappy, less crappy games and so on and so forth. So on top of that, I'm really into my state. I was a Boy Scout for about 5 years, so I've camped all around my state, and I already knew that we had amazing locations that people don't know about, and I was inspired by the culture in which Mulaka is based on, and that fueled our creativity instead of diminishing it. I see that a lot of people, especially Latinos, struggle, and we think that maybe we have to emulate like an American studio or a European studio in order to be appealing to the public. But I'm of the idea that if you're living in a very rich society with a lot of cultural aspects, you have at least a responsibility to at least turn around and see whether or not you can get inspired by that and do something based on that. So I believe that the first thing was when I told Adolfo, who's right there, our co-founder, raise your hand, buddy. Yeah, there it is. It was, dude, what if we make a Zelda game based on indigenous people? Because we're surrounded by them, and instead of ignoring them and trying to aspire to something that we're definitely not, let's try and bring everything up with us together. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Next question. When I was, I didn't have the pleasure of meeting Gracie before the panel. When I was reading your resume, I was impressed about the technical background you have. And me, as a technical evangelist for Latin America, I get the chance of talking to people, and most of the time, they don't want to get into games because they think they are not good enough to take like a programming or a computer science degree or anything. So you have an impressive resume. So what would you tell to those people in Latin America, living here as Latinos, that this is possible?
I think when you look at the four of us, and it tears me up sometimes, because the opportunities for Latinos to get together to really celebrate our accomplishments and be in this industry, it's not really apparent until we have events like this. And I think that they need to know that they are supported, that we have a community here that really wants you to be a part of this. Our numbers in tech are very low right now. If you look at the numbers, we are only 5% Latino, blacks and Latinos, that includes both of them, in tech, and that's very low. But the only way to change that around is to be support for one another. So that means it starts with people like us, targeting, you know, children even as young as elementary school to really talk to them about the possibilities and greatness of careers in the technical field. And to encourage them that it is possible. For me, I was very lucky, and again, you know, I had my father to look up to as an example growing up, but people need to know that they can be successful and they can persevere and that we can be part of that equation and do this together. Because it's, you know, I think our culture in general, we're very supportive of each other, we're very familial. We need to bring everybody together and rally around this cause so that we can increase our numbers and really drive to make a, you know, successful presence here in games, because we have so much to give and we have such a great community to do it.
Thank you. Thank you, Grace. So, Andrew, you have worked at different companies, different kind of companies. Some of them used to make games, some of them offer services. Now you work at a company that offers specific services to the industry. You showed us a reel of Halo and Gears of War for the Latin American region, right?
Yeah.
Do you think game developers should pay extra attention in the market itself when they are designing their games, when they think about the games, or it doesn't matter?
Well, this yes, of course, it matters, because what I learned right now with the localization is the importance of this area for the success of the game in other territories. The big publishers have the localization in their budgets, but not in the production area. They have in the marketing area. So that's the we can see the importance for them. So that could give us an overview of how important to develop this area and make good marketing globally. So for me, it's very, very important that you can see this the localization for other territories to see us to see this as an opportunity, because if not, it's going to be a local game, and you need to think to go globally, because the competition is not in the region. The competition is over around the world. So it's very important to take care about this.
Okay, thank you. Finally, Daniel.
Yes.
You have an interesting background, right?
Right.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer.
So that's an interesting thing, because games are not just made by a programmer or an artist or a designer. We need multiple backgrounds to release games. So how does being a lawyer helps your company, or how that background have helped you to make businesses, to be a successful company?
Right. First of all, don't hold it against me that I'm a lawyer, right? It's just... it's good. The thing is that I believe that, well, we are all bound by law, whatever we're doing. And mostly we're talking about everything that is what we do, especially the indie community, is related to IPs. That's where we come, our creativity comes from. That's where what we have to protect. Even cultural assets can be have to be protected once you go to market, right? And also deals and money and taxes and all that comes to play. And that can make or fail a company if you are out of the law, even by ignorance. So I believe, and that's something that's from law school and from my background, that knowing at least the rights and duties as individuals, as corporations, and especially coming from Latin America, where you know, law and all the things that happen in Latin America is kind of like varies at some point, right? Depends what's going on. I believe it's really important to have at least a counsel. Right, to have counsel for a company once you go to, we're about to go to market. Well, take some of the budget and apply to protect your company and what you struggle so much to create. Go to an attorney, get references, ask, well, who can help me protect what we actually struggle so hard to build? And actually, and then we go to the other side of it, which is like outsourcing and all that I'm doing right now. And that's why we incorporate in the US also, is that to be able to get the IPs from these companies that are giving it to us to do outsourcing, protected and bound by American law, and then be able to keep it in a way that is really, you know, that everything is that we have to be, we understand that we are bound by this law. And if you don't know it, it can really hurt you later on once you go to market. So please take really care of what you struggle so much to create. Please protect it, and that's the only way to do it. It's through the law, through contracts, and to attorneys that really will try to protect you from.
Okay, thank you very much. We will have a couple of minutes for questions. Anyone has any question? We have someone.
Hey, so I'm Daniel. I'm from Venezuela. So. Question is for both indies. I saw both your games, and it's great. So congratulations for making all that stuff, especially in South America, which is so hard. My question is about talent, and I used to, like, struggle to find the talent there. Like, did you find the talent in your towns? Did you train it? How do you dealt with that? And the second question would be if you found any resistance trying to break it into the industry here. You touch on this a little bit, you know, so if you can expand on that. Thanks.
Please.
Talent. So this is going to sound kind of controversial, but we at Lienzo don't really believe in talent. We don't believe that you're born into something that you're really cool at. We believe in enormous quantities of hard work. So whatever it is you want to do, you can work really hard and get good at it by working hard. And the evidence is that the 8 people that are in the team, we didn't get education at all in doing what we're doing. And I like to believe we're kind of good at it, and that's because we screwed up so many times and learned from our mistakes and did it again and again and again. So it is hard because you have to work at it and polish it, but that's the only way you're going to get like good at it, because if you're trying to find that diamond in the rough, well, it's never going to happen. You just have to get a piece of coal and then pressure it and wait until it becomes a diamond.
And the resistance for bringing a project here, that was the second question.
Oh, no, yeah. For our case, it was really easy. People think of these big, huge companies where our game is published as like huge, like non-facial entities. And in our case, it was just like an email and our game being good enough so they liked it, which is the hard part, I'm aware. But what we don't realize is that these awesome companies are looking for content and for new diverse content so that people come and flock to them. So they're actually looking for stuff like this. In our case, the Mexican, like Tarahumara aspect of it, like the indigenous aspect to us, actually benefited us. They told us that these are like new stories that people were afraid to like to take from, like inspiration to draw from them. So the fact that we did it, it presents something new, diverse, cool, but it's like a rediscovering because it's something really old. So in our case, that actually helped us penetrating this market.
Yeah, so the thing about talent that he said, I agree completely about it, but also there is a point of motivation and keeping people, that they could consider talent, you be motivated and to try new things and to learn new things and to go out of the box and question, why do we do it this way and not that way? And that would be what I think would frame the talent, is just people trying to get out of the framework of the box. What we did in Brazil, after I came back from LA, after a couple of years, I was invited to teach at Nomon School Brazil. They had a branch there for a while. So over the course of almost 3 years, I have had almost 300 students. And actually right now from the 12 people I have in the office, 4 were my students. So one thing about Latin America, and I think Gracie spoke about it a little bit, is that And our game is about that too, is about sharing. I think we have to take the time. Well, we get paid to teach, but that's not that much, right? You take the time to find these people that want to follow this career in tech, in art, and we need to support them with our time. Most of my time right now is about lectures and stuff and going to speak at schools. And I believe that, and also you're from Venezuela, and I truly believe it's a hard thing now to keep people motivated to go into gaming industry and believe that tech and education will save them from whatever is going on right there, right now. But it is. It will. I mean, share what you're doing. Please try to share the experience. Please try to get people engaged. And you are a voice of Venezuelan developers and people who want to go into the industry here. So keep that alive. I think that's the way to get talent. People that really want to work on this and will struggle so hard to get here. And about resistance, there's almost no resistance. The only thing you need is to be a professional, to be really, really aware of the opportunity these companies are giving to you. So just please follow and try to do everything as clear as possible and ask for help. Say, well, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. How can I get to this, this and that? They are very helpful. These programs are made in a way that are helpful to you. And shows, when you go to shows, please introduce yourself and ask questions also. So it's all about sharing again. And that's one of the visions, missions of our company. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. So they will be around for the rest of the evening, I think. Please reach out to them. Crystal was telling about the importance of networking. To me personally, I landed the job at Unity because I used to just talk to everyone. So when they interviewed me, I had 8 interviews, and 5 of them were with people I already knew because of networking. So thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Thank you for the space, and an applause.